The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, I was at an evening meeting in a conference room at the diocesan offices adjacent to the cathedral on North Main Street. There were only four or five of us at the meeting, and we were to share a simple potluck supper before moving into the business session. But as we all unpacked the foods that we had bought to share, we realized that there were no plates in the conference room. So I volunteered to go to the cathedral kitchen to get the plates. Now, I knew the way to the kitchen. Down the hall, up the stairs, through a set of doors, then down another set of stairs. So I walked up the hall, up the stairs, and opened the door. Total darkness met me. There was not even a window through which moonlight might have passed. It was really totally dark. I had no idea where the light switches were, but I did know that there was a set of stairs there somewhere lying in wait for me. So I decided to shuffle along gingerly, hoping that my feet would find the stairs before I fell down them. But then suddenly a small light appeared at ankle level. It apparently had been activated by my motion. And as I continued to move slowly towards the steps, a second light came on. Now, these lights provided enough illumination for me to know what steps to take, but they did not completely dispel the darkness. There was still darkness that presented a challenge as I moved forward. One of the beauties and challenges of the Gospel of John is its use of poetic metaphors. The Gospel's author resorted to poetry, I think, because sometimes only poetry is adequate to express the most profound truths. We see that in today's reading from the Gospel of John, which is often referred to as the prologue, so-called because it is at the beginning of the Gospel, it announces the important themes of the Gospel, and appears to be a self-contained piece of poetry. One of John's most commonly used poetic metaphors is light and darkness, and the contrast between the two. The word light appears six times in the prologue, and it recurs many times in the remainder of the Gospel. Darkness and night often appear as the opposite of light. So in John's metaphorical language, Jesus is the light from above, the light that comes down into the world and confronts the darkness of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, John says. Later in the Gospel, there are accounts of Jesus himself saying that he is the light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This light is all good. It has been good from all eternity. According to the creation account in the first chapter of Genesis, God's first act in creation was to call light into existence and to affirm the goodness of light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So the light that came into the world as Jesus was light that existed from the very beginning. The contrast to the light that Jesus brought into the world is the darkness of the world. The darkness is all that does not partake of the life of Christ, all that does not reflect the light of Christ. But of course, Jesus didn't bring darkness into the world. He didn't have to. We have only to look at Jesus' suffering and death by crucifixion to have a glimpse of the ugly darkness of the world into which Jesus came. And none of us has to look too hard to see darkness in our own world today. All of us experience it. And while all of us would readily agree on certain areas of darkness, there are things that some of us would consider darkness and others of us wouldn't. You see, what is darkness is different for each of us. Each one of us experiences darkness in his or her own way. And if we're being honest with ourselves, maybe in our troubled, anxious thoughts as we toss and turn, sleepless in the small hours of the morning, most of us will find some darkness lurking in our own hearts. We lie in our beds and worry that the darkness will overcome the light in our lives. We wish for the morning light to come and reassure us. We hope for the darkness to go away. But to be honest, sometimes we give in to the darkness and allow it to prevail in our lives. And sometimes we just passively accept darkness in the world. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus brought light into the world, that Jesus is the light of the world. We have to remember, though, that the Gospel does not tell us that the light triumphed and wiped out all of the darkness of the world. The Gospel does not promise us that we will not face darkness in the world, in our own lives. No, in coming into the world, in being the light of the world, Jesus did not overcome all evil, the darkness of the world. But Jesus did bring light that cannot be overcome by this darkness. That's what the Gospel promises us, that the light from the manger will always be there, shining in the midst of the darkness. I think that's what the Renaissance painters were saying in their nativity scenes, which show all the light of the stable emanating from the baby in the manger. You can see that same effect in the window over there, in the nativity scene, in the window closest to the Messiah Chapel. "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. "Just as my steps through the pitch dark hall in the cathedral a few weeks ago became more confident when the tiny floor lights appeared, so also our steps in the midst of darkness, our steps toward confronting darkness, are made confident by the rays from the manger in Bethlehem. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Thanks be to God.